Welcome back, folks. The polls in Kentucky are officially closed. Now, if you're in line waiting to vote, stay there, because as long as you're in line when the polls close, they still have to let you vote. Looked like initial reports had Thomas Massey ahead, but now with only 4% of districts reporting, it looks like Ed Gowrain is on top, 53.6 to 46.4%. Again, this is only 5,300 votes counted so far, but we'll keep an eye on this as the results start coming in. But it looks like Ed Gowrain is off to an early but not substantial lead, and we'll bring you any updates as they arrive. Now, we got a lot of videos to get to here in this final segment that I think are of the utmost importance. And of course, we've talked about all of these things quite a bit. One of the interesting developments over the last couple years is the really shocking rise in transgender shooters. And of course, this crops up as a new topic every 6 months or so when another trans shooter goes on a killing spree. And it looks like that's happened again in a truly American shooting, I say, in the least complimentary way possible. You've got a shooting at a mosque carried out by people who call themselves Nazis, who apparently have SS, stickers on the gas can they brought with them. One of them's wearing the Black Sun Nazi logo, but they're Hispanic. One of them's a Hispanic dude, and the other one is a transgender person. So I think they're all a bit confused about all of this. But add it to the list. Yet another mass shooting carried out by yet another radical trans psychopath. Utterly adrift in a world of chaos. Let's go to clip number four here. Authorities have just reported that the suspects in the shooting at the Islamic Center of San Diego, which left three people dead, are a trans couple identified as Kane Clark and Caleb Vasquez. Let's watch.
Hey, Nicole. I was able to speak to the imam who runs the Islamic Center there in San Diego, Imam Taha Hassan, who I managed to get on the phone a few minutes ago. And he was able to give me a little bit more description of the school and told me that the school has about 200 or so students who attend that school. And he described for me what he had heard shortly after the shooting began, which he said happened within the last hour or so. The school has about 200 students. It has about 20 or so teachers. And this, according to him, and again, not yet from law enforcement, but according to him, there are two teachers or staff from the school, to be more specific, that have been killed as a result of the shooting. That is separate from the suspects that we're hearing about. This is according.
So the suspects that killed themselves after the shooting have been revealed to be by people who are in their schools and neighbors. Literal blue-haired transgenders. So we can, just add this to the list. And I think what we're seeing here is very similar to what we saw with the Uvalde shooting, if you remember that one, where, again, people wanted to point to this as white supremacy, Nazi activity. And yet at the time, it was like kind of obvious and later was basically confirmed. There are a lot of kids in this country, like young, teenage-age people, who are basically so like disconnected with reality that they really just like love evil. And that's what's motivating them. And so they look around and they go, I'm evil. I want to be evil. I hate all these people. I hate all these normies. I hate all these, all the people around me, all the kids my age. And I just hate everybody. I'm going to be evil. Who's the evilest person in the world? And they land on Adolf Hitler. And so they wear Nazi apparel or Nazi attire, and they, talk about being Nazis. But at the end of the day, if they were in 1600s England, they'd be witches, right? They'd be Satan worshipers. It's just about wanting to sort of cloak themselves in whatever is the most despised by the culture that's around them. Again, I don't say this to defend Nazis, right? I have no love for the Nazis, and I think their entire influence on American politics has been nothing but negative, ubiquitously and continuously and constantly and forever. It is this, we're drawn back to a conflict and German nationalist 80 years ago. It's all ridiculous and pervasive. But no, what it says is about just sort of the mindset of these kids and just like what is going on in our culture, that we have no safety net, not in the welfare sense of safety net, but literally in the sense of like, who cares about these kids? Where are their families? Where are their friends? Where are their cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents who love and are concerned about them and can see the signs, you know, where they're drifting towards this? Is everybody just this connected, this disconnected? Is everybody, you know, this atomized, that we just got a bunch of like insane people going around? You know, it's almost like when little kids act out because they don't get attention, and they know the one way to get mom and dad's attention is to break something or, you know, do something bad. And then even if the attention's bad, hey, at least it's attention. That's basically what we're dealing with. Just maximize, just, you know, with murderous intent. The homicidal version of that is basically what we're dealing with here. Desperate for attention, desperate for meaning, desperate for acknowledgement, and finding the only way to actually achieve that is to kill a bunch of people. That's a symptom of a sickness that we haven't even begun to deal with, because it's a consequence, obviously, of the general collapse of our culture overall. All of it, right? All of the structures of our society are being hollowed out and destroyed. You want to turn to church? Well, it doesn't really exist anymore. You can hear a lady in a robe tell you about how great trans people are. It ain't church. It's something else. So, okay, where do you go next, right? Do you go to, you know, your counselor in school? Guess who they've been propagandized by? Guess what school they graduated from, right? You're going to get, you know, what do? You go to a therapist? Like, there's an article today about the politics of therapy, and basically it's like all these therapists being like, wow, for the first time, you know, ever, or, you know, we're seeing increasing people have anxiety and mental illness basically because of the political construct of our country. And like, what do you think those therapists are saying? Do you think they're saying, listen, you feel like you're going crazy, but really you're right, everything is messed up, and you're right to be angry and annoyed and frustrated and feel like you shouldn't be doing what you're doing? Because you shouldn't, because it's unnatural, because you're watching everything you love be destroyed, and all the authorities are sitting there telling you it's a good thing and you're supposed to love it. Like, of course you feel insane. The world is insane and trying to make you insane. So, you know, do you think that's what they're saying? Or are they almost all trained in the, you know, cultural Marxist schools that are there to say, hey, if somebody has an objection to the way the world works, you medicate them until they accept it? It's not that the world is messed up and nonsensical and out of whack with the human condition and that you are appropriately responding to that. No, it's that the world changing completely, you know, without your input or approval is just something you have to deal with. And it's up to you to chemically alter your brain state so that you're now okay with it. I mean, it's beyond destructive. So, you know, when you have these mass shootings, especially ones like this, where the kids are cloaking themselves in Nazi apparel and are writing stuff on their gun to mimic the Christchurch shooter, it's not a consequence of one of these things. It's a consequence of all of these things. It's a consequence of all of our societal systems being torn down and denigrated and destroyed, and all of our support systems being turned against the people they're supposed to support. It's a symptom of a cancer that is killing us and that we refuse to, you know, have diagnosed, because it would show that the trajectory that we're on, the progressivism that is deliberately hollowing out all of our societal tent poles, is negative and should be worked against. And the people promoting it would rather live in their fantasy world, which is making everybody insane. And it literally is making everybody insane. But when it comes to the question of what to do about the crime rate being artificially inflated by judges who refuse to enforce the law, I heard a very good suggestion recently. Clip number 3, this is an American man proposing a solution for judges who continue to release violent criminals who go on to hurt innocent people. I think judges, DAs, prosecutors, anybody involved in any of these instances where you've got a serial criminal, a career criminal being let out 15, 16 times till he finally murders somebody, I think this is a perfectly valid solution to that. Let's watch.
Everyone's tired of all these judges releasing criminals back onto the streets where they immediately go on to assault and kill and harass new people and commit new crimes. Why don't we do what the ancient Persians used to do with judges who had failed spectacularly to do their job? What they used to do, if you were a corrupt judge in ancient Persia, is they would skin you alive. You'd be flayed alive and your skin would be turned into leather. And that leather would be used to upholster the chair that the next judge had to sit on. Usually it would be that man's son. And usually that successor would do a much better job because he had to sit on a chair made out of his own father who did that job before him. So it was a, you know, if you're a bartender and you overserve someone at the bar and that person gets into a car wreck and it has a DUI and they kill somebody as a result, you can get in trouble. You could go to jail if you're the bartender who served them those drinks. If you're a judge who lets a criminal on the street and he goes out and he assaults and kills somebody, why don't we hold them to the same standard? Plus, think about how cool courtrooms would be if they had a human chair that the judge had to sit on. And, like, you could use the corrupt judge's head to make, like, a little throw pillow, you know, to support your back.
Hey, don't knock until you try it, right? I mean, we could try it. It's worth a shot, right? I mean, I think you only have to do it once, really. It's not like we want to do this to everybody, but I think, like, setting an example, I don't know. I'm open to suggestions. But, I mean, theoretically, this should be where we're headed. I mean, I do want my judges in America terrified of the consequences if they let somebody out who's criminal. I want them much, much more concerned with that. Because right now, you understand, they're actually incentivized the other way. If they go, hey, I'm going to throw the book at this guy, I'm going to, you know, treat this guy harshly, I could not do that, but, you know, better safe than sorry. You know, maybe he didn't commit that big of a crime, but I can see from the trajectory of his criminal career that he's going to be killing somebody soon. I'm just going to throw the book at him and put him away. They do come under threat of the NAACP and the Innocence Project. They will be breathing down their neck and threatening to sue them or get them disbarred by claiming that they're biased, because they'll look at, you know, every person that the judge has seen, and if they notice that black people are sentenced more harshly than white people, it doesn't matter if they committed worse crimes. It doesn't matter if that sentence was appropriate based on the person. It doesn't matter if you normalize it by, you know, criminal action, that discrepancy disappears. It doesn't matter. They'll manipulate the numbers to basically demonize the judge who's actually doing their job. So, and again, just like police are thinking about, you know, being charged with murder if they take out a criminal, and you're going to see, you know, people die as a consequence of that. You're going to see situations where police could intervene, but they hesitate 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, just because of all of the, you know, criminalizing of police actions recently. Like we read yesterday, the guy who stopped a mass shooting in progress, the police who shot the gunman who had already wounded 12 and killed several, you know, as part of a Islamic State terror attack here in Austin, they've all been subjected to a grand jury and may spend life in jail for heroically intervening, putting their own lives at risk and stopping a mass shooting in progress. You don't think cops are thinking about that when they're on their beat? You don't think they heard that story and go, all right, well, this is the world we live in now. If I'm going to shoot somebody, I'm going to be really, really sure that it's the right thing to do. So who knows what sort of hesitation that will inspire in them that will, you know, lead to a death here or there. You know, that's just what's going to happen. Just like the criminals respond to incentives. Oh, I get let out for this crime, then I'll commit that crime because there's no consequence. The judges are also sitting there thinking, gee, if I, you know, judge these people harshly, they're black, so I'm going to look racist for that. I better, you know, give them a lenient sentence or whatever it is. We need them instead thinking, if I let this person out and they go on to kill somebody, that person's family is literally going to tear my fingernails out with pliers. And I like my fingernails, so I think I'll put him in jail so I'm not killed as a consequence. I think we need something. We need to do something to stop what's going on because it's outrageous. And I'm frankly shocked that this hasn't happened before. I mean, you'll see every once in a while a video of a father throwing a chair at a judge because the murderer of their child is being let off or whatever. I mean, you know, I don't know if I was in that situation, but I just can't help but think that at a certain point, somebody is going to take the law into their own hands. And from that point on, judges are going to be thinking about that in the back of their mind, and they'll probably make good decisions from there on out. So what I would love to see is the judges just do their damn job. I would love to see the law just be enforced by the people that we have elected or appointed to enforce the law. I'd love to see them ruthlessly subject criminals to the law, and then we wouldn't have to worry about any of this. But instead, every single day of my life, I have to wake up to another story of usually another black guy killing another innocent white person in the most horrific way you can possibly imagine, only to learn that they'd been arrested 30 to 40 times before this and let out every single time. This cannot go on like this much longer. Something has to change. So I guess the ball's in their court. I guess it's up to them. They can actually start punishing criminals, or they can find out what happens next. Your play, right? This was the one from this morning. You want to see the one from today? Body of missing 23-year-old Alabama woman Karen Deanne Hollis has been found by family and friends as man 44 charged with corpse abuse. Karen Deanne Hollis, 23, vanished from the Georgetown Apartments in Northport, Alabama on the 8th of May after texting her boyfriend Zachary Slaughter that she would be going to the store for a Reese's peanut butter cup. Her friends and family launched a search in Greene County based on information from an electronic device and discovered on her body Saturday. Randall Lindell DeJourney, 44, has been charged with abuse of a corpse and booked into Tuscaloosa County Jail on a $15,000 bond. $15,000 bond. Get attacked by a black guy, defend yourself, shoot him, don't kill him, but injure him and yourself in a shootout. $1.25 million bond. Kidnap, murder, rape the corpse of a woman, $15,000 bond. You don't see something wrong with this? You think we have to live in a country, we have to exist in a world where our daughters, our girlfriends, our wives and mothers will go to a store for a piece of candy and just never come home? Hollis had a medical condition that impaired her judgment. Her sister, Brandy, said the family is devastated and struggling to eat or sleep. We'll see what comes out tomorrow. I don't know. I haven't checked X in a while. Maybe there's like 10 more stories just like this, exactly like this, over and over and over again. And we don't have to put up with it. We have to acknowledge it and recognize it. Again, folks, the mainstream media, yes, they can fabricate non-existent trends. They can take a single instant and extrapolate it to look as if it's reflective or representative of a wider societal trend. And they can get the entire country to back the most absurd and asinine policies the world has ever seen, like defund the police on the basis of one black dude overdosing on fentanyl. Suddenly that becomes that through the wizardry of lies, right? The magic of deception, that becomes black people are being murdered systematically by cops, white cops who are hunting them, and therefore we have to defund police to deal with it. Totally absurd. Meanwhile, every single day, there's another example of another. It's almost all good looking white people in their early 20s. I wonder why that is. I wonder if it has anything to do with the seething jealousy that's constantly promoted to all minorities in America being told, you know, your life is crap because white people. You would be living in paradise if it weren't for these damn white people. You're in jail because white people put you there. It's like endless seething hatred, and it manifests in these heinous and outrageous crimes that for the most part are going literally unpunished. The guy that slit Irina Zaruska's throat, do we need to watch that again? You know, maybe we get like, you know, hardened to this stuff. Maybe you see enough pictures of Irina Zaruska, you forgot what it looks like when she bursts into tears, having realized that the blood spurting from her neck was enough to kill her. Maybe we need to look again and see the moment that a girl sitting quietly on a train suddenly realizes that she's been murdered and that nobody around her is even moving to help. And the guy brags, got that white girl on camera. You can hear the audio of him saying it seconds after stabbing her. and he has now been declared mentally incompetent to stand trial. So, again, in a normal country, that would mean that he just is either put down like a dog, like a rabid dog that can't be rehabilitated. Okay, fine. I'm fine with that. Or, you know, put in an institution and kept in a comatose state for the rest of his natural life. But instead, he'll go to a hospital. He'll be treated nicely. It's insane. It's incomprehensible. And it's unsustainable, and we don't have to stand for it. And it can't go on that much longer. So let's solve the problem proactively and not react. But you have to be the one to recognize the pattern. The media is not going to tell you that this is happening. The media is not going to say to you, there's a big problem with insane black criminals being let out by dumbass liberal judges to stab white people in an act of racial hatred. They're never going to report on that. It's never going to be presented to you as a trend, even when if it happens every hour of the day, which is not an exaggeration. We've done the calculations before. There's a meme that, it's not even a meme, just a macro image, a data set that people post around because it compares the rate of interracial rape between black men and white women to white men and black women. Now, white men have never apparently ever raped black women, and it's always zero. The number is zero, and it has been for like decades. Maybe statistically it's non-existent. It doesn't happen. Meanwhile, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the number the other way around is something like 38,000. That sounds insane. That sounds like too much, but it's high up there. How many is it? Maybe the crew can find it. How many interracial rapes committed by black men against white women happened in a single year? Because we've done the calculation before, and it's something like one every hour on average. Okay. So if those were reported on, it would be like a crisis of all crises, but it's not reported on. Or if it is reported on, it's reported on as a single instance, totally disconnected and unrelated to all of the other instances of exactly the same thing happening. So I'm not even like exaggerating when I say, like, if we had a bell that went off every time something like this happened, we would go deaf. It would deafen us because it would be ringing constantly. I wouldn't be able to do a show because of the constant ringing of the bell. And yet it's not presented as a pattern. So nobody realizes it's happening. You can't recognize this. You can't see this for yourself. I mean, my God, I could go on and on about this. And it's gotten to such a crazy point. Shiloh Hendricks update. The defense motion to dismiss was filed and then rejected. Basically, Shiloh Hendricks, who is the mother who said the N-word to somebody who challenged her to say it because she was being abused and harassed by non-white people and threatened by like immigrants. And we spent a long time talking about this at the time, and it was a big deal. And since then, she has been arrested and charged with a crime. She gets something stolen from her. She gets some random foreign dude shoving a camera in her face and threatening her, but she used the no-no word. So they're trying to send her to jail for life. So this is the thing about like Chud the Builder. You don't like what he does? Fine. Do you not understand where things are going in this country? Do you not understand that they are literally in a de facto way criminalizing certain speech and legalizing violent attack against a certain race, white people alone, that if you can claim that you heard the person say the N-word, you can murder people and not be charged or not be convicted of it. And that's the direction our country's going. And I'm in favor of whatever it takes to change this track and get on a different track and be in a world that is peaceful and just and not being ripped apart at the seams by the systematic destruction of white people. It's very sad. It's very sad what's happening to us. We'll continue to talk about it and fight back against it with everything we've got and hope upon hope that the American people can wake up and recognize for themselves the threat that they're under and work proactively to combat it, or else things are going to get real bad real fast. That's it from us at the War Room. God bless Thomas Massie, and we'll see you tomorrow.